Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. How does God reveal His calling to people? Catherine McKinney accepted Christ at Stanford. Unsure of what God's calling on her life was, she spent 10 years in Silicon Valley working for a company in sales that led to an IPO, an initial public offering. She felt God calling her to the entertainment industry and moved to Hollywood, where she made 3 evangelical short films that went on to win 18 film festivals. Transitions in life, those moments where God speaks to your heart, perhaps in a way that may be somewhat disturbing. Maybe there's a wrestling that takes place. Maybe there's a rustling in your heart and in your spirit. Perhaps you're in that place right now. You see, a relationship with Jesus Christ has made the difference in the life of Catherine McKinney, and that's why she's here and we're here to remind you the reason we have the Good Life program is to lead you, dear one, closer and closer to Jesus Christ. Do you know? He loves you so much, He died on the cross for your sins. He shed His precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, He rose again from the grave. My friend, the living Christ, today, at this moment, whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, whatever transition you might be in your life, He calls you to Himself. Would you turn to Him? Would you open your heart to Him and receive Him as your Savior and Lord? Oh, that is our heart. That is our prayer. Would you do it? Catherine McKinney's heart has and continues to be bringing the truth of the gospel to an unsaved culture. Catherine, welcome to our show.
Thank you.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Lakewood, California, which is about 20 miles south of LA.
What was it like growing up in Lakewood?
Well, it was a blue-collar neighborhood. It was actually the first planned community in the United States. So Lakewood was completely, every square inch was planned. And they had a park every 7 miles or so, and there was all tract housing. There were 3 different models of homes, and so it was a very cookie cutter suburban America.
How do you feel growing up in that environment? Well organized, almost perfect. How did it influence the way you thought and the way you develop, even socially?
Well, I didn't know anything else. So, you know, we didn't really travel. So it was a poor neighborhood for the most part. And so it was a rough neighborhood, actually. It was, so this was in the 70s, and the kids all did drugs. It was kind of like a trailer park social environment, you know, because so the parents weren't super involved. It was, there were a lot of welfare families. And so I didn't know it at the time, but it never felt like home. It never felt comfortable. We would be teased. My family would be teased because both my parents had master's degrees, and the school system wasn't super challenging, and so we would always get A's, and we were teased for it. So that was odd. You know?
Who would you say influenced you most in your growing up years?
Well, honestly, that's hard to answer because my parents did not have a good marriage. And so what often happens in those kind of situations is that the parents develop a close relationship with one of their children. So my father was close to my older brother and my mom was close to my younger brother. And then there was me. So I kind of always felt like I was raising myself. I know that sounds strange, but I just always did. And they started busing in the 70s, and they were bringing African-American children into our schools. So they were trying to figure out a way to get white students into the black schools, which meant busing into the hood, into Compton. And so they came up with an AP program, you know, really, and the best teachers in the school district. Except I was in all the accelerated classes all my life, and I found them boring. So I had no interest. I just thought, why would I want to be bused into, you know, a worse neighborhood? I mean, that doesn't make sense. And to answer that question, I'd have to say my older brother. He wanted to go to Harvard. He was completely all over that program, and he convinced me to go, which made all the difference because that helped me get into Stanford.
Well, you certainly took advantage of it because doing a little bit of research in preparation, I found out that you had taken enough AP classes. By the time you went to Stanford, you were already a sophomore.
Yes, yes.
So, you know, I think God just, in his sovereign grace, looks on someone's like the Catherine McKinney's of the world and just goes, I'm going to kiss that one with a certain capacity of sharpness of intellect and an ability to, you know, access and process knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a purpose for that. Which leads to this. How did God reach you? See, we live in a world that, you know, it's, the spiritual life is one thing, and sometimes there's a distinction made between spirituality and intellectualism.
Mm-hmm.
How did you become a Christian?
Well, I guess because my childhood wasn't super happy, I had this deep longing inside me to know why I was here. What is there any meaning in life? And when I was at Stanford, my freshman year, I was really good friends with this guy who we would study together, and he would take me over to his home. His mom lived nearby Stanford for dinner, and we would, you know, process our midterms, you know, our grades together and that kind of thing. And he committed suicide. And found out when I was in a Stanford program in Europe at the time, and I started crying, and I immediately contacted his mom soon after I got back, and she said, do you want to read his diaries? And I said, no, I know exactly why. I knew why, which was that he found no meaning in life. And so that summer, I was at Stanford in Vienna for the spring quarter. So that summer, I traveled through Europe by myself. And I had been an oil painter since I was a child, and I was really into art. And so I was going to all the art museums. And, you know, so I could see the trend of realism to impressionism to modernism to postmodernism, and kind of the breakdown. You could see it in the art of meaning. And of course, postmodernism is there is no meaning. Just forget about it. Forget, it's just what you make of the world. And so I thought, well, if there's no meaning, then what Steve did made sense. And Hemingway killed himself. Jackson Pollock killed himself. A lot of great artists end up killing themselves because they were essentially postmodernists. In other words, there's no meaning, there's no point. And as we all know, life is hard. It's difficult. Some people betray you and you have heartbreak. And so I just thought, oh my gosh, you know, I better figure this out. Like, so I, during that summer, I had the opportunity though to, because I was traveling by myself, of meeting all these really wonderful people. And I thought, well, maybe the meaning of life is just people. I don't, you know, I was just trying to figure it out. And then the moment I got back to Stanford, I met 5 really amazing people, and they were all strong believers.
When we come back, I'd like for you to spend a moment just sharing what it was like, maybe more than a moment, what it was like to come back. It seems like you're going from an intellectual vacuum mm-hmm. of meaninglessness and getting lost there. And yet there is something in you that is searching, wanting to find out more. And when you get back to campus, you meet. God brings people. We could say that now as we see how God moves in our lives. Today, someone, Catherine, is experiencing their own meaninglessness of life. They don't know how to sort it out. They don't know what to do with it. And they're asking, is there more? Why am I here? Why am I alive? Maybe today, dear one, you're asking that question. God sends Catherine McKinney to speak with you. Stay with us, okay? Stay with us now. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of new stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Paliomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hear me calling. Hear me calling.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Well, be careful now. You might think that we're moving on to the sublime intellectual plane when we speak about matters of meaninglessness. No, no, no. It's not that. It's this. You know, the question really is, why do we do what we do? Why do we get involved with what we get involved in? Why do we give so much to what we give ourselves to? What happens beyond just now? What happens beyond this life? What's the meaning of life? Have you considered that? Maybe you thought about it. Maybe you feel it. Most of us just feel it. Something's just not right. There's got to be more to life than just this. Catherine McKinney is our guest today. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. I'm very grateful that you're with us today, because I believe strongly that the Lord has a word for you, a word of encouragement, a word of comfort, a word of inspiration through our Catherine McKinney. Catherine, when you speak about the meaninglessness, postmodernism, postmodernist thought, people committing suicide, you went through, you're in Vienna, you're in Europe, you came back to Stanford, and you met some key people. Who were they, and what happened?
Well, one of them was Darren Maurer, and I know you've had him on your
yes.
show, and he was one of the, but there were several Christians, and they all had a different spirit about them in the sense that they were loving. And I didn't really experience that as a child. And so it was like they had something that was attractive and for me, intriguing. I wanted to know what that was all about. How could they be happy all the time? I was invited by one of them, a guy named Michael Manson, to go on a retreat, a church retreat, and I went, and it was at Mount Hermon and in Northern California, and I went on top of the mountain, and I just asked God if he existed, if he could just make himself known, because I had been studying, been raised Catholic, but I had decided I was an agnostic, because when I was in church as a Catholic, I just didn't make sense to me. I didn't know why did Jesus have to die for me? I didn't get the gospel at all. And so I was a Catholic, and then I was an agnostic, and then I took a class my freshman year at Stanford, which was alternate forms of consciousness, and I explored Buddhism, and I explored Hinduism, I explored all of them, except that I could tell you that they didn't really seem to have an answer to the big question for me, which was, why are we here? What's the meaning? And there was something about these individuals. So I just asked God, I said, look, obviously these people are different, and if you exist, make yourself known to me. I want to know you. And I sensed his presence. And I had to do it that way, I will say, for me, because I was an intellectual. I sensed what Søren Kierkegaard says in his writings, that, I know people argue about this, but I couldn't get there through my mind. I had to take a leap of faith. But I knew that if God was God, that his arm would not be too short, that he could at least make himself known to me. And he did. And so I took the leap. And then once I took the leap, it as Søren Kierkegaard said, it made sense. It just made sense to me. And it answered, I thought, this is the meaning. This is why I am created by God, and I have a purpose. I don't know what that is yet, but I was meant to be here. It made all the difference.
You give your heart to Christ.
Yes.
Through this process. You graduate. You work for 10 years, Silicon Valley, successful career, and then you make a change. When you talk about, you know there's a purpose, you know there's meaning, but you don't know what it's for. I'm going to just bring in a word. I don't know if it relates directly or not, but in my mind I'm thinking a calling,
yes.
some level of specificity of how how am I going to use my gifting? How is it going to be expressed? So how did you make that change and why?
Well, it was shortly after I graduated, actually. I had gotten involved with Campus Crusade, which is now CRU, at Stanford, and I actually went on a summer mission trip with them to Japan. And so I was well-versed in sharing the four spiritual laws, and I had led several people to the Lord, but I didn't think my calling was to be a missionary. So I kept praying that God would tell me what my calling was. And one day I felt the word film, which seemed completely out of nowhere.
So this is even before Silicon Valley?
Well, I was in Silicon Valley, yeah.
Okay.
And so I'd always loved business. It wasn't that I didn't love what I was doing, but I thought there must be some deeper, I must have a calling. Mm. So it turns out that I love film. I started studying it, and I went to film festivals, and so I thought, well, I don't want to hit 50 and not have tried at least to explore that as a profession. So because I was with a company that went public, I could afford to do that, and so I did.
What was your experience like making a transition at that time in life?
Well, it was painful. I was leaving. Silicon Valley is a really nice place to live, and the culture there. They say there's gods or idols over every city, right? Because the prince of the air rules this earth, and the gods over Silicon Valley are brains and money. Okay, so that I liked hanging out with people that were smart with money. But Hollywood is a whole different thing. It's youth, beauty, image. So you find all kinds of people, and this includes Christians, driving around in Mercedes Benzes that are $100,000 in debt. It's all image. Mm. And so I didn't really, it was like, I wasn't like, oh great, I get to go to Hollywood. I thought, oh man, I'm leaving such a nice environment, and I'm going into a place I'm not excited about it, but maybe that's where I'm supposed to be. So I did it.
What did you find within yourself when you took that step?
I made several short evangelical films because I took a screenwriting course at UCLA. I ended up writing a lot of screenplays and optioning a few of them. And my short films did very well in the film festival circuit. They were kind of like spiritual Twilight Zones, and you can get them now on Christian websites. It's called The Trilogy of Parables. Because they were like parables. Mm-hmm. Because I was hoping to be able to make stories that were not Christian films. I didn't want to make films for the Christian audience. I wanted to make films that spoke to people that were like I had been, searching, and yet spoke of something deeper. And so they were short films with what they call an O. Henry ending, in other words, a twist at the end, like The Twilight Zone always had, mm-hmm. that was supernatural, that suggested the existence of a God. So that's what I did.
Most of us think we are consumers. We love the movies. You know, we'll go and we'll watch, whether it's at the theaters or Netflix. We consume, we enjoy. We were just talking a little bit about that during the break. But few of us understand the process. So you threw out a word, optioned. Your script was optioned.
Oh, yes.
Explain what that is, because From the very minimal awareness that I have, we would have no movie to watch if a script was not optioned. So Now, explain the process and explain what you've gone through.
Well, it's so there's a lot. There's literally thousands of producers in Hollywood wanting to make movies, but they have to have a screenplay. So what happens is, unless you get it to a studio that will oftentimes just buy it, or they used to. They actually don't very much anymore, unless it's what they call branded entertainment, based on a, in other words, based on a book. But so you'll find all these producers that want to read scripts, and they will read scripts, and if they like it, they will put a little money down, give you a little money for the right for a period of time to shop it around and possibly set it up, so to speak, and sell it to either they raise money or they get a studio to set it up at a studio and buy it, and things go from there.
Catherine, do you love what you do?
Well, I'm not doing that as much anymore. I do love writing.
Why?
Because you're creating a whole world, and I ended up about 5 years ago partnering with a fellow who had been on what they call in Hollywood the A-list. He'd written several scripts for Clint Eastwood, and it's fun to partner with him because we have complementary strengths. But for example, we were given a novel to adapt, and this novel was nihilistic, meaning it kind of celebrated death. And so he's a minister's son, and he said, I won't have anything to do with it. I said, no, we do what they do. We do what people of the world do. They'll take something great, like that's godly, and they'll strip it of all the godly content. And so I said, so what we do is we'll take this and we'll put God in it.
Somehow there's a tone of a word or a phrase that I remember Jesus talked about being wise as serpents and gentle as doves.
Yes.
Somehow there's a form of application in the way that you're describing this. Catherine, it certainly is fascinating to go down this path, to hear about your world, the world that many of us don't even know exist, but you live in that world. And of course, we consume things that come from it in terms of entertainment, film. Can we go deeper? Can we talk about some things that God has done in your life, maybe even in some points of struggle when we come back? More with Catherine McKinney when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference. But where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, "I believe in you." Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Well, someone says, look, I struggled even graduating from high school. Someone might even say, high school? I didn't even graduate from high school. You may or may not have taken that special exam that some people take that is the high school equivalent. Someone else might say, well, you know, I've been given an opportunity given by God to go to college, and I got my college degree. Someone else might say, well, I've gone further. I've gotten my master's. Someone goes beyond that, even gets their doctoral degree. Some even go beyond that and do postdoctoral research. And then there's somebody on the side of the street that's holding a sign and is asking for some help. This is another side of the spectrum. Not to say that there aren't intellects doing that either, but someone who is really groveling in life. And so the question goes, can God reach everyone? Can God reach the high-minded? And can God reach the person who struggles to put a phrase together? Well, the answer is yes. If you seek him. If you seek him, my friend. Yes, you know, seeking him with your heart, the simplicity of your heart. The Bible talks about when God says, "You, if you seek me, you shall find me when you search for me with all your heart." I'm so glad you're joining us today. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Catherine McKinney talked about being at Mount Hermon and taking a step of faith. In her intellectual mind, she took a leap. God met her there. You can find out more about this program if you're tuning in right now. You can get the program in its entirety for free at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Catherine, you mentioned, it struck me, driving a $100,000 Mercedes, riding down Wilshire Boulevard, down Beverly Hills, and be $100,000 in debt. doesn't make all that much sense to some of us. Did you see that there are those who are struggling in life, whether you were in Silicon Valley or in Hollywood?
Well, I would say you certainly see it more in Hollywood.
Really?
Because, yes, because it draws people that have a need generally for fame. And so it's a lot of, people that are hurting, really. It comes out, sometimes they're very successful, but and sometimes they are end up famous. But there are 80,000 actors in LA, and how many are famous? Maybe, I don't know, 100? So that leaves a whole lot of people who have really a need. It's really a need to be known by God, a God-shaped vacuum, but they're seeking it through the world system, and they don't get it. And so there's a lot of hurting people. Silicon Valley, I mean, even if you don't do that well in Silicon Valley, you're fine. You're going to do fine. even if you only, if you don't, if your company doesn't IPO and you only make $100,000 a year, you're still okay. You don't need to pass around hats for the most part.
They have a different floor.
Yeah, they have a different floor. Yeah, exactly.
You traveled around the world. Mm-hmm. At age 29, where did you go?
Well, actually, I had a goal to travel around the world by the time I was age 29, and I was working, as you know. And so I would take as much time as whatever the company I was with would allow, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. And I'd gone to Europe. I once traveled through Africa. And this was always by myself. And the reason I did it by myself was just because I had this goal to travel around the world by the time I was 30, and it was mostly because I felt like it was going to be a lot easier when I was younger, and I felt like it was educational. Like I could understand how the world was only by experiencing it. And you can't, generally you can't say, hey, you want to go to Africa for a month? And, So I, just because I wanted to do it and I had only certain points in time, I ended up traveling by myself through Africa. I did the footsteps of Paul through Turkey and Greece and Israel, and I went to New Zealand and Australia. I went to Indonesia. I traveled through China for a month. I went to Tibet. I went to South America. Parts of Central America. But other than that.
In less than a minute.
Yes.
Or thereabouts. You at least took me around the world.
Yes.
In a snapshot.
Yes.
What did you learn? If you could distill all the experiences, all the lessons, all your reflections, if you could distill it into one thing you learned that stood out among all else, what would that be?
Well, I always wondered why America was so rich. And I remember asking in high school in one of my AP classes, why was America so rich? So much richer than per capita than other nations. And I was told it was because of our natural resources. But that's actually not true. There's more natural resources per square foot in Tanzania. And Tanzania is one of the poorest countries. So I learned that, well, I mean, just intellectually, I learned that free enterprise and the rule of law, you can't just have capitalism without the rule of law, are two essential things that I think were gifted to us through our Constitution and Bill of Rights. United States is extremely unique in the way we were formed, and we were formed in part, not everyone, not all the founding fathers were believers, but by believers that understood that, I think that the first thing that God gave us was free will, that free enterprise works, but that man has a heart towards darkness. So you have to have a rule of law. In other words, even the highest in office is not exempt. And that's unique throughout the world. And I remember traveling through Africa, and granted, this was 20 years ago, and I was continually, almost every day, assaulted by the poverty, and the lack of their worldview. It comes from it's a set of tribes, really, what is Africa is, and their worldview is animism. Really, it comes from animal worship, and so that's why AIDS spread so quickly there, because they don't have sexual ethics, for example. And I was just continually grieved by, and then you see the way the poor are treated, and the fact that there's so much corruption in government and in all the systems, and it's just grievous. And so my thought was, the only hope for much of the only hope is the gospel, because you have to change people's hearts to want to have a system like the United States, where, frankly, there's equal opportunity for the most part.
How has the Lord helped you through your experiences? How has He helped you through difficult times?
Well, you know, because I was an intellectual, I kind of had a very intellectual approach to my faith for, I would say, the first couple decades. And in the last 5 to 6 years, I've been going to a church that really emphasizes intimacy with Christ, and going to, in prayer, in your quiet time, to a secret place, and letting the Lord talk to you, just sitting there and letting Him talk to you, which is, it's not intellectual, you know, that has helped me so much in the last few years, the difficult times I've been going through, just having his presence and his comfort, and He does speak to you if you let Him, if you just sit and meditate, the way that I think monks did for centuries. And I had gotten into this thing of a very regimented kind of quiet time where you read so much of the Word, and, you know, it's just, but just, I realized that the Word is important, but just spending time with God is really, really powerful.
Spending time can mean many things to people in the 21st century. And even in spending time, there's a whole nother aspect that goes on within our minds in the frenetic lives that we live. We could be still physically, but our minds can be racing. And there's no quietness in the mind, in our minds. What does it mean to be still? What does it mean to hear the voice of God? Experience the presence of God, the intimacy with God? It's possible, but how? When we come back, Catherine, let's talk more about that, okay? We'll be back with more from Catherine McKinney. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of new stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year, and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com.
For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chanan and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Well, if you go to church, you'll come across this saying. It might not be in exactly the same words, but you'll hear about people talking about having a relationship with God. And when you hear them talk about it, they might even talk about it in ways that might make you feel a little bit oogie and squishy and even perhaps a little bit weird. They talk about being intimate with God. They talk about hearing God's voice. What does that all mean? Can that actually happen? Can you experience that? Our guest today, before our break, we were beginning to talk about it, her experience of what it was like. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Thank you for being with us today, taking this time. I believe it's going to be well worth it as you hear how God has worked in the life of Catherine McKinney. Maybe as you've heard this program, you thought, look, I know somebody who needs to hear it, someone that can relate with Catherine. But you certainly can send this to that person, your friend, for free, as a free podcast. You can get it at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Catherine, in this closing segment, we talked about intimacy with God. And it seems somewhat diametrically opposed to the intellectual mind. So there you are, an intellect, going to a church last 5+ years or so, and the emphasis is on intimacy with God. How have you experienced that?
Well, for me, as I mentioned before, I was an oil painter, so I'm very visual, and I've always been kind of fascinated with there's a passage in John 6 in which there's a pool of Bethesda where all these sick people are waiting for the waters to move, and that's their note or their cue to get into the water and possibly be healed. So it's filled with cripples, lame, sick people. But Jesus doesn't go heal everyone. He just goes up to this one guy and heals him. And later is asked, you know, he was criticized for it by the Pharisees. And he said, I only do what I see the Father doing. And I always thought, what did he see? And if you take the Bible literally, you have to wonder, what was he seeing something? And I decided he actually could see things. And live, we know we live in a three-dimensional, I'm going to get a little intellectual here, but we experience three dimensions, but mathematically they have proven that there's at least nine. So there's all, we know this through scripture, there's all kinds of things going on around us that we don't really see, but there's angels and demonic active, all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And I think that, I think it's possible to see in the spirit. But for me, what I do is I close my eyes and I imagine myself stepping into a garden, my place with Jesus. And I sit and I ask him and I talk to him. I ask him questions. And sometimes it's painful because you have to wait on God. And God promises that if you seek me, you will find me, if you seek me with all your heart. But I think there's something to waiting on him, waiting. And I remember reading a book by Joy Dawson where, believe it or not, she asked God a question. This blew my mind. She waited for a day and a half before she got an answer. Now that's impressive. But I will wait. You know, for a half an hour, 45 minutes. And the more that I wait, the more I feel him and I feel answers and there's a joy. His presence is peace, love, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And it's worth waiting for. Let me put it that way. It's very...
Someone today might say, I'm glad you can do it, Catherine. I mean, it's hard. I can just hear them. It's hard to sit for 5 minutes. I sit for 5 minutes, I close my eyes, and I envision a garden and me with... And all of a sudden, in that garden, the cell phone, you know, it starts to vibrate or ring or buzz or whatever your phone does. And if there's nothing there, thoughts come into my mind. I forgot to call my friend. I've got this other appointment that I need to tend to. And how do you sort through that? Have you ever experienced that?
Of course. And I think there's a couple things you can do. You can meditate on a scripture and just ask God what it really means. That's a little more intellectual. Or you can, I actually stare at Jesus. So your mind will go where you direct it. It's like a course of water. And so if I'm staring at him, I'm thinking about him. And I watch him. And I look at him, I look at what he's wearing. I try to look and see what his eyes look like. And the more I look, the more I... my mind clears, it falls, everything else falls away. That's how I do it. But I do think that, you know, you tend to go where you focus your mind. So if you're focusing just on what Jesus looks like in your imagination, or what the throne room looks like, or what your place that God has prepared before time for you, what that looks like, that's where your mind is going to be.
Let's do this, okay? As you listen to Catherine, we're listening to her together, okay? So there's an encouragement being given. She's given us examples. Let's do this together. Let's make it a point to carve some time intentionally, okay? Of course, intentionally. Let's do this and sit before God. Mm-hmm. Whatever, you might be worried about something, you might have a decision you have to make, you might be just very busy, but let's carve out some time. I'm going to leave it open as far as how much it might be. For someone, a long time might be 5 minutes. For someone else, a long time might be 5 hours. I mean, it's up to you. But before God, let's carve out some time. Let's focus on Jesus. And let's wait. Wait on him. Sit before him. I believe that we will experience what I would call a golden moment, mm-hmm. a moment where a peace will come upon us, clarity will come upon us in a very unique way, almost strange when we first experience it, but such that we will not forget it and we will want more of it. What is it? More of the presence of God. More of Him. But my friend, I think Catherine might say, well, I'll ask, Catherine, does it become a challenge over time to continue to have these moments, or does it become easier?
I think it's to me, it's always a bit of a challenge because I...
Both, maybe both.
Yeah, I always have a lot going on and I always think, oh, I should be doing this. But as soon as I sit and it does vary. Sometimes it's 5 minutes, sometimes it's 20 minutes before what you called that gold, that peace that surpasses understanding. When you start to feel that, it's very calming and it's very reassuring. And the presence of God will kind of speak to you in whatever you're trying to figure out about a situation or life at the time. And it's the best time you can spend, because what Scripture tells us is that much of our lives will be burned away, but these three things will remain: faith, hope, and love. And when you're sitting waiting on God, that's faith.
I don't know if it was D.L. Moody or Martin Luther who said, you know, I've got so many things to do today. I can't help but to spend the first three or five hours in prayer with some. But you think, how can it be? Perhaps we'll experience how time, when you enter into that golden moment, time just races by and you lose track because you're there. Catherine McKinney, you have moved us forward in this way to seek and to be in the presence of God.
Yes.
And what a gift that is. For that, I thank you.
You're welcome.
Dear one, we have been blessed, haven't we, today? And I hope that you were indeed encouraged by the sharing, the insights from Catherine McKinney. You know, God's timing is perfect, and there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And look, if you haven't done so yourself, hey, this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Would you do it? Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special presentation for you there. To help us with your financial support, to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. I want to thank you in advance. Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to Catherine McKinney. Until next time, along with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator, Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer, Arlen Nagata, special thank you to Suzanne Maurer. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life.